Good morning, 12th Street.
Good morning.
Let's stand together. We're going to open with Same Power.
I am glad that the same power, that power of Jesus Christ, and if you come to Bible study on Wednesday night 2 weeks ago, you would have learned that Jesus Christ himself takes up residence inside our lives. And that's an awesome thought to know that that is who lives inside of us. And so if you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ, say amen.
Amen.
And if you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, he wants you to know him. He knows your heart. He knows what you've done. And he looks at that and he says, I died for all of your sins. And he looks at you this morning and he says, I want you in my family. And this morning you can be part of the family of God. Well, we have several announcements to go through this morning. And so if you'll take your bulletin and look with me. First of all, there's an insert. And Marcia Cooter needs help moving. And just want to make a little correction to what's written there. She needs her stuff moved to the new place. She's not getting rid of things. She's just moving from one location to another. Marcia is, she doesn't look a day over 39 years old, but you're in your 80s, Marcia. She's 88. And so for Marcia, she would do it by herself, too. She has that much fortitude and the Lord with her. But Marcia could use your help. And so her address is there that she needs help moving from, 5083 Linwood Drive. And she's moving to Evergreen North Apartments. And so if you could come out on Thursday from 4 to 9 to help Marcia move, that would be very much appreciated. So Thursday from 4 to 9, if you could come out and help her. Or if you can't make it till 5, I'm sure we could still use that help. So we appreciate that. It is backpack time again. And all the kids go, no, school's starting up. It is. It's going to start up again before we know it. And this has been something that we've used as a tremendous blessing and a tremendous opportunity to introduce, especially the neighborhoods next to our church. We're going to have a Sunday where we invite them, August 28th. We're inviting, we're going to put out flyers at the apartments next door, and we're going to invite all the kids to come, and we want them to come to our service on Sunday morning, and then we're going to give them backpacks after. And then also, if you're here this morning and you need a backpack for your child, we want to make sure that you get signed up at the Welcome Center so we have one reserved for you as well. On August 14th, we have an Asian-themed potluck, and it's going to be right after the morning service. If you would like to come, we would love to have you. Sign up to bring a dish, and even if you don't bring a dish, we'd like to have you there. But if you could bring a dish, that helps make sure we have enough for everybody. Youth group is meeting tonight, and so we want to make sure they had a great activity yesterday. Some of them look a little red in the face from the sun. And youth group, don't forget about that. And then on August 24th, there's a trip to Michigan Adventure, leaving the church at 9 a.m. and leaving the park at 7 p.m. They're going to stop at Pizza Hut in Muskegon, bring $5 for the pizza. And this is open to anyone in the church that would like to go. And Autumn Lewis is putting that together. So it's a great, great time for families just to get together and go. That's Wednesday, August 24th. Teens and sideline adults, since we're starting a new rotation of a school year, there's going to be an opportunity to get together and identify who you are, secret or sideline members, and then teens, you're going to know who's been blessing you all this time. And so that is coming up very soon, so please have your card ready in the next 3 to 4 weeks to identify yourself to the teens. And then the sideline program kicks off again in September. Men's softball. The men are playing in the tournament 6:30 on Tuesday night at First Assembly, okay? That's 94 in Oakland. So if you'd like to come cheer them on, if they win that game, then they play in the championship game immediately following. And so just to come root our team on, the team's had a pretty good year, and we'd like to win. I know, me personally, I hate losing, so, yeah. And then, if you would like to come out and play intramurals, we're, for this next Monday night, all teams, 6:30, if you would like to come play and you haven't played yet, it's a blast on Monday nights. It's very low-key. If you strike out, nobody's going to be upset. Tuesday night, I'll be upset. But Monday night, not upset. Monday night, it's okay, and just it's a lot of fun, so I'd like to encourage you to be out. I just had to clarify that, because if any guys strike out, they're on my bad list. All right, on August 26th, from 5 to 9 p.m., and then on August 27th, we have a special work project, and Eric Hackman. Eric, are you ready to share with us? Or do you want to wait till next week? That's fine. I know, and it's not linked. So, All right. Next week, we have a work day. Let me just encourage you. We have to rip off all the brick on the east side of the building, okay? Not just in the middle sections, okay? The new auditorium section doesn't need to be ripped off. But all that brick needs to be ripped off and all the concrete board behind it. And then we have to rebuild that entire lower part of the wall. It's about 4 feet high that needs to be rebuilt, okay? And we're going to do it in 2 days. We just sang the song, right? The same power that rose Jesus from the grave. All right. So in order for us to get all that done, we need as much help as possible. Demo is Friday. Rebuild is Saturday. So we want to encourage you. Next week, we'll put some slides up here to show exactly what work needs to be done. And especially if you're a skilled laborer, we will put you in charge of some skilled areas. And if you're like me and you can swing a sledgehammer, we need you too, okay? So keep those dates in mind. And then also, I need one person to run a nursery, if at all possible, if somebody would be willing to do that. You say, well, I can't swing a sledgehammer, but I can watch babies. All right, we could use help with that. And then we could also use help with some food. If we're going to get together and work, we ought to eat together too, right? So if you'd like to help with the food, you can see Lynn Anderson about that. All right, there's a lot more announcements in the bulletin. Want to encourage you to look at those. This morning's a special morning. We have a baptism this morning, and I know that God has some great things in store for us. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, thank you so much that we could just this morning call you Father. That when we address you, we don't have to just say God, Almighty, and you are those things. We are also our Father. And this morning, as you look at us, you love us. You have special plans in store for each and every one of us. I thank you for Datisha this morning and her willingness to be obedient to you in baptism. And I pray, Lord, that she would be a great example to anyone here that's never taken that step of obedience to you. I pray, Lord, that they would see her courage this morning and they'd be willing to say, I need to do that. And they would do that as well. And Lord, I just thank you that this morning, as we sing praises to you, you are a God that's worthy of every single good word that we say. You are great. We love you. We desire for you to meet with us in a very intimate and personal way. And I pray this morning, Lord, as we read your word, and as we study the Judge Jephthah, that we would all be challenged and encouraged, and that this morning we would leave here as people that are ready to go out and set this world on fire. That we, Lord, would be willing to say, our God, we will serve you however we can. And so, God, to you be all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing as we sing, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."
Rest upon his promise and to know the same the Lord. You are love. stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone.
This morning, I'd like to introduce you to Datisha Servant. And Datisha's been coming here for quite a while. And what we're doing this morning is she's going to be baptized, not to receive Jesus as her Savior. She's already done that. She's going to talk to us about that in just a second. What she's doing this morning is she's demonstrating her faith in Jesus Christ. As we stand here in the water, we are making a symbol of how we believe Jesus died on the cross for our sin. And I'm going to take Datisha, and I'm going to dunk her under the water. And she's really nervous about that. And when we do that, it's a picture that Jesus Christ not only died, he was buried. But I won't hold her under for long, because Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose again from the grave. And she has placed her faith and trust in Jesus. She believes that he died for her sin. Her sin is on the cross with Jesus. Amen. Her sin is buried. And when she comes up out of the water, she's going to represent a new life in Jesus Christ. And so, Datisha, why don't you share with us your salvation?
So I don't have a set story. It was more that I've been in kind of a turbulent place for a while, and lately I've just been feeling guided and feeling open and renewed, and I wanted to offer myself.
And Datisha, when you offered yourself to Jesus Christ, did he forgive you for your sin?
Yes.
And you asked him to forgive you?
Yes.
And he saved you from your sin? And Datisha, are you 100% certain that Jesus is in your life?
Yes.
Datisha, based on your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Let's pray for Datisha. Lord God, I thank you for Datisha and her willingness to be obedient to you today in baptism, to let everyone see her faith. And Lord, I just pray that you would help her faith to flourish, to grow. I pray, Lord, that we as a church would surround her with love, compassion, that we would help her. And when she goes through the good times in life, Lord, I pray that we would be there to celebrate with her. When she goes through the hard times in life, Lord, I pray that we will be there as a church family to uphold her, to lift her up, and to love her. Lord, thank you so much for her obedience. It is done as you have commanded, and yet there is room. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Your hands, how deep.
At this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And I'm very blessed this week to be able to speak to junior age, that's 8 to 12-year-olds at Bear Lake Bible Camp. And I'll be doing that. But I will be coming to the office on Tuesday and Thursday. So if you want to talk, come in Tuesday or Thursday, I'll be here. But pray for me as I'll be preaching two times a day out there, and I'm looking forward to what God will do. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Judges chapter 11. Judges 11. This morning we're talking about a judge that we don't talk a lot about. If you study the judges, usually this guy gets skipped over. His name is Jephthah, and Jephthah comes from a place that maybe many of us this morning would be very easy to relate to. He comes from a place where many of us that are here, we can say, wow, I've felt that way before. I've been treated that way before. And in Judges chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor." Now, let me stop right there. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Wouldn't that be great for that to be your epitaph? What's written on your gravestone? That you are a mighty man or woman of valor for the Lord? Wouldn't that be tremendous if that was what could be said about you? And he was the son of a harlot. Now, where he came from had no bearing on how God viewed him. He came from being born out of an improper relationship. And we're going to see in just a second, because he was born from a harlot instead of the wife of a husband, he will face a lot of hardship. But it did not change the fact that he was a mighty man of valor. And Gilead begat Jephthah. Verse 2, "And Gilead's wife bare him sons. And his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said to him, 'You will not inherit our father's house, for you are the son of a strange woman.' And Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob." I don't know where you come from this morning. But maybe sometimes you feel in the place of Jephthah. Maybe you've been pushed out. Maybe you've been put down and you've had to leave home or leave where you want to be to live in Tob. Okay? I know nothing about the town of Tob. Okay? I just know it's not the place you want to live. Because who goes to live there with them? A bunch of vain and worthless people. They go with him. But it came to pass, verse 4, in the process of time, that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And here's what they say. Come and be our captain, that we might fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, didn't you hate me? Didn't you kick me out of my father's house? Why are you come now when you're in distress? The elders said to Jephthah, therefore we turn again to you now that you may go with us and fight against the children of Ammon. Be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And verse 11, the people made him head and captain over them. Verse 12, Jephthah sent messengers to the king of the children of Ammon, saying, what have you done with me that you're come to fight against me to my land? And Ammon responds in verse 13, because Israel took away my land when they came out of Egypt, from Arnon even to Jabbok, unto Jordan. Now therefore restore those lands again peaceably. So Jephthah launches into this long discourse with the king, okay? And we're going to look at the very end of it. He talks about all the different times that Israel vacated that piece of property that the king of Ammon is talking about. And he gives them all these illustrations of when they vacated that property. Israel wasn't there. Gilead wasn't there. And they had every opportunity to go and to take it. Look with me at verse 26. While Israel dwelt in Heshbon and her towns, and in Aroer and her towns, and all the cities that be along the coast of Arnon, 300 years. Why didn't you recover them at that time? Okay, Jephthah is not looking for a fight. He's looking to reason. And so he starts off by saying, listen, why are you coming to fight? We live here. Why are you trying to take this away from us? And they said, well, it's ours. We owned it, and you guys took it from us. And so he gives them a history lesson of 300 years where they had every opportunity to go and to reclaim the land. And they didn't. And he says, you're not taking it now. You had 300 years, and you didn't take advantage of it. Verse 27. Wherefore I have not sinned against you, but you have done me wrong to war against me. The Lord, the judge, be judged this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. The king of the children of Ammon did not listen to the words of Jephthah. And so verse 29, the spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. We see this with these judges. And today we have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. We have Jesus Christ who lives inside of us. But you know, there are some times where we just feel like, man, I need to be empowered. I need the extra measure of courage. And I believe God gives us that courage. I believe even though we're already filled with all the power of God is inside of us, there are still times where it's almost like he scratches us on the back, taps us on the shoulder, pats us on the head, and he says, go, do it. And this is what he does to Jephthah. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And so now we see one of the most troubling things that I can read in Scripture, okay? When I'm done with the message, you might still be going, ugh? All right, this is a hard one. Verse 30, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if you shall without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that whatsoever comes forth out of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So he says, Lord, if you give me the victory, the first thing to come out of the doors of my house when I go home, I'm going to give that to you as a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over, verse 32, until the children of Ammon to fight against them, the Lord delivered them into his hands, and he whooped them badly. Verse 34, and Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances. She was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son or daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he tore his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You are one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. She said to him, my father, if you have opened your mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which proceeded out of your mouth. For as much as the Lord has taken vengeance of you, of your enemies, even the children of Ammon. She said to her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down in the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, go. He sent her away for 2 months. She went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned to her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed. She knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel, and the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. So Jephthah says, Lord, give me the victory, and I'm going to offer the first things that comes out of my house to you. His daughter runs out of the house to meet him when he got home. He says, I can't offer my daughter. And she says, no, you offered it. You made a vow to God. You have to keep it. Give me 2 months, and then you can offer me. And he offers his daughter up as a burnt sacrifice. Okay, now first of all, let me just make this very clear. God did not want her as a burnt sacrifice. Okay? Let's make that very, very clear. But I want to tell you something about Jephthah. He was committed, wasn't he? What about his daughter? She could have talked, dad was ready to be talked out of it. And she talked him into fulfilling the vow. Let's look at this passage and let's just glean some things from it. First of all, with Jephthah, do not discriminate. Don't discriminate. Jephthah was discriminated against because of his birth. Nobody controls where they come from. How about the temperature of our country right now? It's a lot of discrimination that takes place. I mean, we have people that are making foolish decisions. And you can't isolate an entire people for foolish decisions that one person makes. We have people that are upset at all cops because some cops have made some poor choices. Maybe even criminal choices. You don't discriminate against all the cops. And then some people, because of where they're born, with the color of their skin or whatever else, they're discriminated against, and that shouldn't be. And what do we learn here from Jephthah? Do not discriminate. Because the one who they discriminated against, when it came time for them to have a captain, a leader, a warrior, they needed him. I wonder how many times there are Jephthahs who are discriminated against, and they choose to say, no, you discriminated against me, I am not going to help. And how many people have been left unhelped? And so if you're a person here this morning that's been discriminated against for whatever reason, I want to encourage you, be a Jephthah, and don't let the way other people treat you dictate how you will act. Be victorious in spite of your surroundings. Secondly, don't make a blind vow. All right, Jephthah had every good intention when he makes this vow. The first thing that comes out of my house, I'm going to offer it to God. He's thinking he's going to see a cow. He thinks that maybe one of his animals will come running. But it was his daughter. You know, I've heard people say, I'm going to commit to reading 20 chapters of the Bible a day. Yeah, that works for about a day, right? And then you break that vow. Why do you break that vow? Because sometimes we make vows that are unattainable to God. I was talking to a guy one time, and he was a drug addict. And he said, I am not going to commit to God that I'm going to quit all my drugs. And I'm like, okay, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to make it attainable. I said, well, what are you going to cut out first? He said, the hard stuff. Okay. He said, I'm going to keep smoking cigarettes. You know what? He did that for a while. He stayed clean from all the rest of the drugs. Just smoked cigarettes for a while. And then after a while, he came to me and he said, hey, I think I'm ready now to commit to stop smoking. He goes, but this one's going to be hard. So I'm going to commit to one pack a week. All right. I was his accountability prayer partner. And so one pack a week for about 6 months. And he came to me and he said, all right, this is the big one. I'm done. We prayed together. And in the process of time, he was able to quit smoking. You know, he didn't make a foolish vow. You know, some people, they hear something that encourages them or challenges them to live more for the Lord. And so it's like, I spend too much time on the computer. I'm throwing my computer away. And they do. And then they go buy one 2 months later. I'm not going to be on my phone anymore. And so they shut it off for, you know, 24 hours. And then it's like, wait a minute. I need my phone. And I just want to encourage you, make commitments that are attainable to the Lord. Don't make these blind, sweeping, wild commitments. But now I want to talk to you about Jephthah and the way he kept his commitment. The commitments that you make, keep them. So practice wisdom with the commitments that you make, so that you can keep them. I made a foolish commitment to the Lord one time. I said, Lord, I pray that you'll keep my physical health as strong as my devotional life is. Oh, somebody said, oh boy, yep. So what I was saying is, God, if I forget to read my Bible or if I'm not in constant prayer throughout the day, then I pray that I will get physically sick to show me that I should be. You know, that was foolish. Because then every time the sniffles came on, I'm like, oh no. Let's make reasonable commitments to God. But then when we make them, keep them. Now here's Jephthah's daughter. She went out to celebrate. Her dad, the outcast, the man who everybody hated. He had to leave town because everybody in Gilead looked down on him. And they had to move to Tob, with a whole bunch of vain and worthless people. And now her dad has experienced great victory. She is excited for him. And she comes out and she's got her timbrel and she's dancing. She's singing in victory because God gave her dad a victory. And her dad looks at her and goes, oh my goodness, what are you doing? What do you mean, Dad? I vowed the first thing that came out of the house I would offer as a burnt offering. You've brought shame to me. And she says, Dad, if you made that vow, keep it. This isn't even her vow. This isn't even a mistake that she made. She was celebrating Dad's victory. Your commitments. If we were to take a few minutes here and I were to say, all right, in your bulletin, write down 5 commitments to God that you've made and you haven't kept. How long would it take you to come up with 5? If I said, write 3, how long would it take you to come up with 3? If I said, all right, just 1, it probably wouldn't take us very long at all to find a commitment that we've made to God that we've broken. Jephthah, although God never intended for him to offer his child, Jephthah kept his commitment. What do we glean from him? Keep your commitments. Just don't be foolish in making them. See, this key word to what we're talking about here, it's commitment. Commitment. And sometimes the commitment that we make to God, it will forge who we are as a person. If we make no commitments to God, then we don't do anything for God. We make foolish commitments for God, we hurt ourselves, and we leave ourselves left unfulfilled and unable to feel like we're obedient to Him. But I'll tell you, there's something great about making a commitment to God and then following through with that commitment. And this lets us know that the people during the time of the judges, even God's chosen leader, Jephthah, God's spirit came upon him. He was a man who God used mightily to overcome the enemy of Ammon. They had no idea what God really wanted. When you go to chapter 12, if Paul Harvey were telling this, he would say, and now the rest of the story. In chapter 12 and verse 1, the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said to Jephthah, when you passed over to fight against the children of Ammon, why didn't you call us to fight with you? We will burn your house down to the ground with fire. That's pretty brutal, right? He's just won a victory. They don't have an oppressor anymore. They're free. In Ephraim. Now, wait a minute. We've seen this from Ephraim one time before in chapter 8 with Gideon. When Gideon beat the Midianites, remember? In verse 1 in chapter 8, and the men of Ephraim said to him, why have you served us like this? You didn't call us when you went to fight against the Midianites. And they did chide with him sharply. Ephraim is a bunch of complaining people. Right? They complain when Gideon wins. They complain when Jephthah wins. I don't think it matters who wins. If they weren't the ones who won, they complain. Look at verse 2. Jephthah said to them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, you did not deliver them out of your hands. When I saw that you delivered me not, I put my life in my hands. I passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Why then have you come against me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, you Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among Manassites. And the Gileadites took the passage of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, let me go over the river Jordan, that the men of Gilead said to them, are you an Ephraimite? If he said, no, they would say to him, say Shibboleth. And he said, Sibboleth, because he couldn't frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan, and there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000 men. Now you're going, okay, Gileadites, Ephraimites, they're all Israel. They're all brothers. It's a terrible thing in America that we have Americans cutting down Americans. We all fly under the same flag. And then worse yet, and you say worse? Yeah, worse yet, we have in churches people cutting down other people. Maybe not with violent force, but through force of word. Ephraim's a bunch of complainers. They complain to Gideon. They complain to Jephthah. They always want to be part of the battle, but they never want to go fight in the battle. You know who the people that get complained against the most are? The people who are busiest for God. You know, other people, they don't know what you do to serve God, but then they complain against you. Or you don't know what they do for God, and you complain against them. Don't be an Ephraimite. Don't be a complainer. In fact, at 12th Street Baptist Church, we ought to have, as part of our description of who we are, is that we are not complainers. Maybe we need to put that in a big, bold sign and put it up right up above the door. We are not complainers. Because how did Jephthah handle the complainers? He killed more Ephraimites, brothers, because of their complaining than he did Ammon, a foreign enemy who was trying to invade. When we complain, we are undermining the authority behind the work. And if God is behind that work, you know who you are complaining against? God. God Almighty. You're not complaining against Paul Eggers, choir director. You're complaining against God Almighty when Paul and the choir are doing God's work. You're not complaining against the sound guy because he didn't flip the slide fast enough. You're complaining against God Almighty. When we do that, we hurt ourselves. So, Jephthah, he's discriminated against. He goes ahead and he wins the victory, and the Spirit of God comes on him. He makes a foolish vow. He loses his daughter because of his own foolishness. But he's committed to God. And he does not let what other people are saying slow him down or deter him. He keeps fighting for God. He has one of the shortest reigns as a judge, 6 years. Most judges get like 20, 40 years. He only got 6 years. But he did his job. He stood up and he said, I'm going to fight for my God. And the whole reason for this is he was surrendered to what God wants. And so as we think about these things this morning, when we think about the idea of discrimination, when we think about the idea of being committed, making the right kind of commitments, when we think about complaining, are you surrendered to the Spirit of God? You know, if you are, a message like this, you should be like, yeah, yeah. Where's my sword? I'm going to take my sword into the world. I'm going to go fight against the enemy because I know that my God is with me. I know that the power that's within me is greater than the power in the world. And I'm going to go fight for God. I'm going to win victories for God. And you know what? People are going to snipe at you and maybe even people in your own church. God forbid. And if they do, you just keep fighting on for God. Because you're here for him. You're here for his victory. I'm here for him. I'm here for his victory. And when we go out together and we fight, and God in us is greater than anything that stands against us, what can God do? Just think about it. He took the outcast living in Tob. And he defeated an empire. God can use you to defeat the empire of this world. Be Jephthah. Except, make wise commitments. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that this morning it's energizing. It's encouraging. And Lord, if anyone here is living in sin, if they're the kind of person that is discriminating against others, if they're the kind of person that's complaining, or Lord, maybe there's commitments that are being broken regularly, I pray, Lord, that we would earn the victory today by falling before Jesus and falling on his grace. And every time we fall on your grace, it's good enough. It's enough for us. And you say, I'm giving you the victory. And so, Lord, this morning as we wave our white flags and surrender, we say, Lord, we are all to you. You give us the opportunity and the strength to have victory. And I thank you, Lord, for those who are living in victory. I pray that they would just continue to do so. They would find the ways to serve, and they would serve, and they would see that you are a great God who does great things. And Lord, if anyone here has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that they would take that testimony from Datisha this morning. How, Lord, she stood in that water and she said, I got my help from Jesus. She confessed her sin. You forgave her. And this morning, Lord, she was able to demonstrate that Lord, if there's anyone here who's never trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that this morning they would do that. And they would find out what it means to have victory given to them. So now, Lord, just bless this invitation time. Help us to respond in any way that you want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand with me. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to stand at the front. I'd love to share with you how you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if God has spoken to your heart, you respond to him the way that you need to. And when we leave here this morning, we will all leave in victory in Jesus Christ.
The battle rages on as storm and tempest roar. We cannot win this fight inside our rebel hearts. We're laying down our weapons now. We raise our white flag. We surrender all to you, all for you. We raise our white flag. The war is over. Love has come.
Surrender to Jesus, we live in victory. Because the cross stands between us and anything else. Because Jesus Christ is my mediator between me and God. And there's one opinion in this world that matters. And you know whose that is? It's my Heavenly Father's. It's my God's. And so, we leave here making good commitments. Not discriminating, not complaining, but being faithful to what our God calls us to do. Lord God, to you we pray. We bring before you a request this week that you will be with us, that we would find your hand strong behind us, pushing us to the places that we need to go, opening our mouths to say the things that we need to say, and being strong in our faith this week. And Lord, I pray that we would not have to face temptations. But Lord, when we do, we know that you are greater. And so, Lord, we dismiss every callous, cold, or calculated word against what we do for you this week. And Lord, we will not focus on those things. Lord, we will focus on the victory that you want to give to us. I pray that your Spirit would come upon us to use us in great ways this week. To you be praise and glory, our Lord and Savior, sustainer, friend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. You are dismissed.